What's up, guys? Welcome to In the Grip Podcast. I'm Josh Berry with my good buddy, AJ Cooper. AJ, what's up, man?
Not much. Just back here, ready to talk some golf and maybe anything else. Looks like we're going to have a podcast here where it's just the two of us chatting. So, yeah, this will be fun. It'll be good to get another one out there. So, I don't know. What have you been up to?
Nothing, man. Just raising a little one like you know. You got three of them. I couldn't imagine. But, yeah, nothing. It's been kind of shitty weather. A good winter, though. I mean,
overall, yeah, it's, not a ton of snow days. Yeah, not like a bunch of ice or snow at any point in time. And I don't know, here lately, the kind of had some Sundays where you could go play some golf. So,
yeah, we've had like three or four in a row where you could, in the 50s anyway.
Yeah, it looks like more's coming too. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's time to start thinking about golf. Get outside and hit some golf balls.
Yes, it is. Speaking of that, we got the Mosswood Fish Fry coming up here this next month in March. So everybody be thinking about that. That'll be at the end of March. And then that golf cart raffle, AJ, you were talking about that. You need a ticket for that. I got a ticket that I got plenty of them that you can buy.
Yeah, that's right. If anybody doesn't know about that, so Mosswood is doing a raffle to raffle off one of their golf carts. Do you know anything about it? It's like a 2011 club car.
Brand new batteries. It's a nice cart. I think they're, what they sell? They're going to sell 150 tickets. Does that sound right?
I'm not sure how many.
The max they're going to sell.
Yeah, it costs you like 50 bucks for a ticket.
50 bucks a ticket, yep.
So, yeah, I don't know. I'll throw 50 bucks in for a chance to win a golf cart.
Ideally, it would be nice if we could get them sold or get close to that amount sold and then auction the damn thing or, draw it, I guess, at the one man. Kind of get the year kicked off.
Ooh, that'd be nice.
Also, with that deal, you get a free cart rental or whatever, cart storage. You don't have to pay it for the year.
Your spot so, in the cart. Yep. Nice. Yeah, it's a good deal. Whoever wins that is going to be super happy.
Well, and we were talking at the meeting, and, people are, most Mosswood guys have a cart anyway. I'm like, well, I'm going to buy it, and I'm going to turn around and sell it.
Right, yeah.
So, it's a win-win.
Yeah. I don't see any reason to not buy a ticket, even if you have a golf cart, unless you're just super tight and no one's spent 50 bucks on it. But we spend 50 bucks on dumb stuff all the time.
Yep, I do it every
day. Might as well. And you're doing it for a good cause, because the golf course always needs money, and we're raising money for the golf course. And, that fish fry also, if, get out there, just you going to a fish fry is supporting the golf course. You just kind of give your little goodwill donation or whatever it is.
It's good to kind of kick the year off, get your members involved, and have a little meeting and eat and drink beer. And
get everybody kind of fired up about the golf season, which is important. But, good things going on at Mosswood.
Yep.
Just hired a new superintendent.
That's what I was going to say. At the fish fry, you'll be able to meet Tyler. So
Tyler Dickens out of Quincy.
Yep.
And he's done it for a long time, taking care of multiple golf courses, so nice to have him here. He played college golf with me.
Yeah, he was saying he played with you and Griff.
Yeah, guy can swing a golf club, so
bringing
another real good player into Mosswood, that's good.
Yep.
Yeah, just looking forward. I mean, he's got so much experience. I think it just having him there, he's going to know new and better things to do that we just didn't know before, and I look forward to the golf course just having a great year.
Yeah, I do too. I went out there and I've talked to him several times, but one of the first times I talked to him, he was talking about how he'd been to Quincy Country Club, I believe, Spring Lake, and then Rushville.
He was the head guy at Rushville.
He was.
Yep, and so plenty of experience, and he's looked at our irrigation system. He understands it already. He seems to think he can handle it, which is good. That's our golf course offers a lot of challenges.
And I told him, I said, don't get overwhelmed, which, Wink's his best friend right now, which is great. But I was like, don't get overwhelmed because all the sticks and all the, shit laying around. I said, we got members that are going to come help do that. I said, you just worry about the big things. And, I just didn't want him to, get in over his head and start really worrying about stuff. So.
Yeah, and all the members sitting here listening to this, I mean, he is a new guy, so get out there and help,
Go meet him that was one thing he told me. He said, I can't believe the amount of members that have come out here. And this was, when he first started, And he was telling me the amount of members that had drove back there to the, you know, to his shed to meet, you know, meet and talk to him. And right. he thought it was awesome. So,
and I'm sure everybody offered their services mm-hmm. to help when yep. they could. And yeah, we just got to keep doing that. And that's why we have a great course and great membership. Yep. So we'll just keep doing it. So yeah, looking forward to having him. Also looking forward to playing golf with him. I bet it's probably been since college since I actually played with him.
Yeah.
So came out there. Let him know on Wednesdays he's got to play golf.
Yeah, I told him
figure
the same
out
thing.
How to get the job done by noon or one. Yep. You know, we got to play some golf.
I said, actually, I just got a date on that. March 31st is the fish fry.
Okay, perfect.
So, yep, we'll be ready to go. But yeah, I told, going back to Tyler, I told him the same thing. I said, you know, you're going to have to come in early on Wednesdays and be done by noon, 1 o'clock, because there's a pretty good 1 o'clock game he's going to want to get in.
That's the way it works. So, that's good. I'm sure he'll be excited to do that. All right, yeah, Mosswood. We've set tournament dates, too.
We got tournament dates, yeah. They are set. You go on Mosswood's website, mosswoodgolf.com. I was looking at them the other day. We got a pile of tournaments. I didn't realize how many we had until you actually get on the website and you see them on paper. You know how many we got.
Yeah. And the one man kicks it off, right? That's first one of the year. So that's the last weekend in April.
You know what's crazy? It's March. Next month, the last weekend in April is the one man. We got 1 month, Coop.
Yeah.
Next month, and we're ready to play golf.
Better start practicing.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's been dudes out there practicing like crazy, so better really get after it and go and compete with them. So.
Yeah, and we have a little group text, me, you, and Michael Williams and Ryan Watson. And Ryan texted us the other day and said, go ahead and have league start this Wednesday with a sunny and 63 or something.
Yeah,
are you kidding
me? The 60s. Yeah, and also... March 1st marks the first day of being able to enter your scores in the gin for the state of Missouri.
Yep.
Especially all the guys going to Spirit. You got to enter your scores in the gin. Yep. Get your gin updated and enter all your scores. And make sure you enter them from the proper tee, too. You don't play the red tees at Mosswood, so don't enter them from the red tees.
Right. Right.
But, yeah, yeah. And so, yeah, we got one man, two man. And we're doing the pre-flighted two-man again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's such
a I think that has a that could really take off, you know, after it gets established, you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Which was last year, the second year of pre-flighted?
First year of it.
Was it? Of pre-flighted?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
but we've done a two-man for a couple years now, right?
Yep, that's right. But this time it was pre-flighted. And what else? And then we have four-man, you know, first weekend mm-hmm. in August, always a big deal. And then our tournament will be in September.
Yep. Yep.
And there's other ones in between, so plenty of opportunities to play some golf.
Pile of tournaments, but yeah. No, I'm pumped.
All right. Let's move on. You and I both have watched this new show on Netflix.
You said your wife got into it.
Yeah, she's watched the first four episodes. We actually sit down one night and we just started watching. I figured we'd watch one episode and she wanted to turn it off, but we just kept going, kind of binge watching. And we had a night where kids didn't wake up for a while. So we got four episodes in, and we have not had the opportunity to sit down and watch the rest of it together. But I've seen them.
Yeah.
I've seen them all. So, and no, she enjoyed it. And, you know, it's you're getting to know the players in a different way than what they could ever show you on TV.
Yeah.
And it's not just golf, too. So somebody like my wife who doesn't play golf.
Mm-hmm.
She can watch it and be interested the whole time and not, you know, it's just not boring like around in golf to somebody that doesn't play. So, yeah, I think I had a lot of high hopes for it. You know, I was super pumped for it to come out. And it didn't disappoint at all. It wasn't. It also wasn't overwhelming.
I thought the same thing. I was one that I watch on Netflix all the time is The Last Dance, and I was thinking, man, this thing has potential to be, you know, as good as The Last Dance that you can turn on, you know, any night of the week and watch an episode or two of that. And then I thought, man, this is going to be good. And it was, but it doesn't, you know, live up to that. You know, it's not
right
up there with that. But it was still good. I think that the Ian Poulter episode, they could have notched that. I mean, I don't know anybody that, like, really cares to watch Ian Poulter for an hour, and I mean I didn't. I thought they totally wasted their time filming him.
Yeah,
I want to see big names. I like seeing Brooks, even though, you know, obviously he's a live guy now. Poulter's a live guy.
I honestly thought the Poulter episode would have been better if they would have made it just basically about him transitioning into live.
Yeah.
And, like, really tried to get into it as deep as they possibly could there. Yeah, I don't know. I thought Joel Damon's episode was awesome.
Yes, Joel Damon. I think that if people didn't know Joel, which obviously Josh Potterfield was talking about him last episode, if you didn't know Joel, then he got a ton more fans after this
easily, yeah,
on Netflix. So
yeah, Joel's awesome. Yeah, I thought the Rory episode. I'm pretty sure that was the last one.
Yeah,
Rory kind of ended it. I guess I've always been a Rory guy for the most part. I don't know, something about him, like seeing him as a competitor on that show. Like, I really like that guy.
I was not a Rory fan at all. I just couldn't stand that dude. But then now with the Liv stuff, and Rory's kind of been the guy that stepped up, you know, and him and Justin Thomas, they've kind of been the two that have been, you know, all PGA. And, Rory, I'm a fan of Rory now, big time fan. So I did. I liked his episode a lot. I liked him telling Phil to go F himself, mm-hmm. basically on the camera. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, and he did. He kind of put himself out there as just the guy that was standing up for the PGA Tour. Yep. And he kind of had to. I mean, he's the best player. He's been there a long time, even though he still feels kind of young.
I mean, you know that obviously it bothers him because he said what he said on camera, you know, about Phil to the Netflix deal. And then, you know, Patrick Reed come over and tried to talk to him, and he wouldn't give him the time of day.
Right. You know, he drew a line in the sand, mm-hmm. for sure. And
I guarantee he got a big-time offer to go there, too.
Oh, you know it. Yeah, he was one of the first that they had to offer him, mm-hmm. first. No, he's stuck with the PGA Tour, in which now he's making lots more money. Yeah. Like, he needed any more money.
Right.
I don't know. Scottie Scheffler came across as the exact guy I thought he was. Yeah. He's going to be around a long time.
Yeah.
Guy's super good.
The one I'm looking forward to is Homa when his comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was one guy I was like, why did we get Ian Poulter for an hour? Nobody cares about. Give me Max Homa.
Yeah.
Now in the world of golf, you and I were talking earlier, he's one of them three or four guys that's like, I'm the best player in the world.
Yeah, I really think, you know, John Rahm, Scottie Scheffler, Rory, and now Max Homa, mm-hmm. have established themselves as the best four players in the world.
Yeah.
And who knows if Cam Smith could have been in that conversation too, but he chose to not play in the same golf tournament, so we don't really know. And he's not out there killing it on Liv either.
Yeah.
You know, he's doing okay, but seriously, in a field of 54 guys, if you're a top two player in the world, you need to win every other tournament out there.
I will say, I thought somebody they could have shown more in the DJ episode was Paulina.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people are thinking that.
A little disappointed in that.
But. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like the DJ, like, episode, we really didn't get into him much at all. Like,
no,
I'm not sure we actually learned anything about that guy.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anybody learned anything new about him, right. You know? And me and Ryan were texting about this there a couple days ago, was Kipka. He looked like, when you heard him talk, he just sounded like he didn't have it anymore. And me and Watson were talking about, like, do you think that's a guy that, like, went to Liv because he, like, doesn't think his game's any good anymore? Because you heard him. I mean, if you watch the episode,
episode,
he's talking about how good Scottie Scheffler is and these guys, and he's like, I'm not as good as them, basically, is what he's saying.
Yeah, that's exactly what he was saying. I would say that influenced his decision a lot. You know, didn't Liv sign his brother before, mm-hmm. they signed him? So, obviously, it was some sort of package deal going, mm-hmm. on there. And who knows, he probably just wanted to help his brother out, too. Like, his brother's been grinding, trying to get on tour for a long time, and which I think he played quite a bit on the European tour.
Yeah.
Which he's a really good player. And
he was one of them guys that when you wake up early on a Sunday and you're waiting for, like, actual golf to come in, like PGA, mm-hmm. he was always one of them guys you could see on, like, the European, or something. Right. He was always kind of, you know, you always seen his name.
Right.
he wasn't winning or nothing, but he was kind of flirting with it, you know?
Right. So, yeah, I wonder, really what made Brooks decide to go. But he did. He seemed to completely lost his confidence. I know injuries had a lot to do with that.
Yeah, that for sure. But, yeah, I'm not saying that I'm happy that the guy sucks, or, you know, quote-unquote sucks. But it's kind of cool to see how them guys go through, you know, shit like, you know, us that play twice a week or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, them guys, that's their livelihood. And it's, you know, they're human, too. It's just kind
of
cool.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, at the end of the day, they are just regular guys that just happen to be extremely talented at golf.
Especially with a Brooks that, you know, I mean, he's arrogant and cocky. And, and when you hear him actually say stuff like that, like, you know, swing thoughts and everything else, it's just kind of cool to see them go through what we do.
Yeah. All right, so did you have a favorite episode?
Obviously Spieth and Justin Thomas.
Oh yeah, big Spieth guy.
I thought that was cool, them on the them playing the practice rounds or whatever, flying out and playing.
Yeah, just grabbing a private jet and heading out to the practice.
And then just, you know, playing like $200 a hole or whatever.
Right.
And then, you know, flipping a card for $1,000, and it's cool to see that, because you know them guys are doing that. I mean, they don't have be a John Daly betting millions, but...
Yeah, and also you just kind of saw how competitive they were, even just doing that little thing. It was, I mean, that was real. They were not wanting to lose to each other. So, so yeah, it probably explains a lot why they're two of the best players in the world.
So, with that being said, we were talking about, you know, some of these LIV guys and some of the PGA guys. Who is a... Who's a guy that the PGA lost that went to LIV that you wish, you know, you could have that guy back on the PGA? Who would that guy be?
I think, like, the obvious answer would be Cam Smith, just because what he had just won the Open Championship and the Players, and was really starting to establish himself as, you know, locked into the top five player in the world for sure, and, you know, and flirting with the best player in the world. But I think when you look beyond him, like, I think a lot of the younger guys, Latin American guys, like Joaquin Neiman.
Neiman,
And then, you know, Mito Pierra or whatever.
Yeah.
He just went or whatever. I was interested to see what he would become as a player because he had a chance to win the PGA Championship. And obviously he won three times, did the Battlefield promotion on the Korn Ferry Tour. So you got to be a great player if you do that. And, like, Carlos Ortiz, and so those guys.
I figured you'd go with some bigger names.
Well, I think the main thing, those guys are, like, kind of young.
Yeah.
And also, they were going to be, like, basically the backbone of the President's Cup for the international team.
Yeah.
And they lost that. Yeah. Like, if the President's Cup isn't going to allow these LIV guys to play, you know, you just lost the main guys that can help you win.
Yeah.
Also guys that I think eventually, I mean, within 8 years, were going to be competitive enough that they could win an actual presence, actually could get it done.
Yeah.
So I think that disappoints me. I don't know. You know, Charlie Three Sticks, he just won this last week or whatever. I think, you know, I'm kind of glad he went as a guy that's in his 40s.
Yeah.
He's probably getting close to hanging it up, but still has some game. It's good to see that guy go make this money. And what I still feel is a complete exhibition of a golf tournament. It's not a legit golf tournament. Yeah. I know a lot of people disagree with that, but I don't know.
I think a Cam Smith is an obvious. A DJ's an obvious.
Yeah.
I think the thing with Cam Smith, and he was good, you know, for a couple of years, obviously, before he left, but I feel like he really was, he left the PGA Tour when he was at his peak.
For sure at his peak.
And it's like, man, this guy could win every freaking week.
Yeah. And he chose to take, obviously, a boatload of money.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just, you know, going back to the Poulter episode, I think they said his career earnings was $33 million and LIV gave him $40
million. Yeah, that's...
So, you know, and a guy like him, obviously, you know, his game's not real sharp. He's definitely, you know, declining.
Right. And he loves to fly in private jets and live that type of life.
Yeah.
And so he that kind of money just is what he needs for that lifestyle.
Like, you know, we've talked about it, and some of the guys, I can see why they went. But, you know, I want to see all the good guys play each other, too. And, you know, when you got Cam Smith and Dustin Johnson and, you know, and Joaquin Neiman who gets hot.
Even Brooks, he still has the game to compete at every single major.
So, that's what sucks. It's, them guys are gone. But
yeah, and Cam Smith, Mark Leishman, he always seemed like a guy that was going to compete at a lot of majors. Like,
I was watching the other day the Honda Classic, and Lowry was still on the PGA. For some reason, I thought Lowry went, but I got him mixed up with Leishman, I'm guessing.
Yep, definitely got those two mixed up.
So,
yeah, I'm glad he's still there. He's going to be a part of the Ryder Cup going forward. Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, I think the most disappointing thing to me about this LIV deal was the fact that the Ryder Cup and the President's Cup is being affected.
Yeah.
Like, I really don't want those events to be watered down.
Yeah.
I want them to be the biggest events. And, we'll see. Hopefully, they'll get it figured out. Yeah. They have to. I mean, this has been a bunch of, you know, a lot of it's just egos.
It is.
Driving this whole thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, did you watch any of the LIV this last, you know, over the weekend?
So I seen a highlight today. It was on Instagram or TikTok or something. I don't remember what it was. And Wolf hit one in there, and he hit one close. And the announcer was really trying to, you know, amp it up and everything. And he was like, he hits one in there tight, and, you know, was talking it up like everybody was going crazy. And then they play it without him talking.
Yeah.
And I mean, it, like, I feel like the crowd the crowd, quote unquote, gets louder at Mosswood for the four man when they're watching championship guys. I mean nobody said anything, and, you know, if it's on PGA, you're about to hold it out,
right? Yeah. I don't know. I tried watching some, and like, they, I don't even remember what group they were showing, but Greg Norman came pulling up on a blue bicycle and was on the tee on this like old school looking bicycle, and I was just like, is there any other way to like try to make this thing feel like it's not a real competition than to have Greg Norman pull up on a bike?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, come on, guys. It's like you're not even trying.
Yeah. Now.
Or you're trying too hard to be something different. And, but one really, really good thing about LIV is Peter Uihlein is on LIV, and his caddy is Zach Guthrie.
Really?
From Quincy.
I did not know that.
And Zach's been on the bag the whole time he's been there. And last year, he finished third in their points. So he got a big old giant bonus for that. And their first event this year, he finished solo second. And so I don't know exactly how much money Zach's making as a caddy, but I know they are maximizing Peter's, you know, talent or ability or whatever. Or maybe Peter's just finally became the player he was always gonna be or whatever. But yeah, it's so good for Zach.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, I don't know how much money they made or whatever. That's another thing, it's hard to tell because they get all the bonuses and then team stuff, and then their contract affects how much they actually make,
right?
But I'm sure the caddy's getting close to somewhere between 7% and 10%,
right?
And 7% and 10%, some whatever that is, you know, for Zach's cut is a huge amount. So good for Zach. And that's probably like the caddies on the LIV Tour, they probably got to be the happiest
people, no doubt,
of this whole deal.
Yeah,
is they're away from their families less each year. Their players are making more, so that means they're making more. And
That's a good point from a caddy standpoint. Don't think they're not prying their guys to go to LIV.
Right. Like, hey, man, like, you know, some caddies are super, super competitive. And I bet those guys still want to be on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, those caddies all, if they've spent their life being a caddy, they've had years where it was very tough financially.
Yeah.
And,
well, for instance, you're talking about Joel Damon's caddy. You know how he wrote Joel a letter
to
be his caddy, and, you know, bought this Honda Civic or something. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, and he said he was going to buy a Honda Civic and end up buying a Prius.
Maybe that's what it was. Yeah. He was, you know, telling Joel how basically he could sleep in his car, you know, and grind it out until, you know, they started making it. But that's, you know, yeah, you're right. Them caddies, man, they can eat ramen noodles for many a year.
Yeah, and I mean, stuck with him, and now look, they've had, you know, very successful last, whatever, 4 or 5 years.
And going back to Joel real quick, I'm just now thinking back on his episode. He reminds me of a lot of Kevin Kisner. He's like, you know, somebody's got to finish 30th. It might as well be me.
Yeah, he's, you know, I think Joel is, he's one of a kind. I think he really is. I don't know if the PGA Tour has ever actually seen someone like Joel, because he is, you know, this happy-go-lucky guy or whatever. He's just trying to enjoy every moment. But he gets along with everybody.
Yep.
And the only person he doesn't get along with was that, I might have the wrong dude, but Sung Kang or whatever. I think they were in Texas maybe a couple of years ago. And he tried to drop somewhere he wasn't supposed to drop, and Joel called him out on that.
I think I remember something on this.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah, other than that, Sung Kang, which, you know, can't even speak English, so if he could speak English, I bet him and Joel would probably become good friends.
Yeah.
Because Joel's that kind of guy. But,
yeah
I mean, I was at a pro-am that Joel was at once, and he even, like, stopped and talked to me for, yep, you know, just 1 minute or whatever, but I could just tell, like, this guy's cool. Like,
yeah.
He's, like, he legit cares about this conversation him and I are having. And, yeah, super cool guy.
So. Well, I mean, they were, and I'm giving, I guess, too much away probably, but our listeners have probably already watched it anyway. But Joel, he was trying out for the U.S. Open in the qualifier or whatever.
Yeah, so sectional qualifying.
Yeah. And then he blew up, and he maybe even or a couple over or something. I don't remember what it was exactly, but he was on the phone with his buddy, and he said, basically, I need to shoot 7 under on this next 18 to even have a chance.
Right.
And then he goes in, eats, drinks 2 White Claws,
yep,
comes back out and fires like a 7 or 8 under, whatever he needed.
Yeah, I think they ended up needing to shoot 5 under, and he shot 5 under,
yeah,
or something. And I think I saw something about this today. So it was some interview with Gino, his caddy, and they're like, so what didn't get put in that episode that you thought should have? Well, the Netflix cameras were there with him that day for sectional qualifying. And I think Gino, and they were like on the golf course. Like, they weren't even sure if they were supposed to be on the golf course the way they were, but they were. And Gino said something like, all right, Joel, we need to birdie the last 4. And sure enough, he birdied the last 4,
yeah,
or whatever. And, or maybe 3 of the last 4, whatever it was. But he said on their putt on 17, the Netflix camera guy like came onto the green and was, like, standing there basically in the way while he's trying his putt. And he's like, well, should I have him move? And he's like, Joel didn't seem bothered by it, so I just let him do it. And he, sure enough, he made the putt. So, yeah. A funny story that I remember hearing about those two also. So, he started caddying for him when he was on the Web.com tour or whatever. Uh-huh. I think it was still Web.com when he was on it. Korn Ferry Tour now. But Springfield, Missouri tournament,
mm-hmm,
I don't remember exactly what happened, but I think they might have just, like, barely made the cut or...
Oh, I remember.
Or
this.
Something. Maybe it was after Saturday, they were a long ways back. And so they decided to go have themselves a night.
Yeah.
But they said they went to a lighted par 3 golf course. And when they were there, there were some locals playing. They ended up drinking with them or whatever. But that lighted par 3 golf course is right next to the golf course I played state at my senior year.
Oh, really?
And I played that same lighted par 3 golf course the night before I went out and set the record at state.
That's pretty cool.
And, but he, so they went there and ended up getting super drunk at this, par 3 golf course.
Yeah.
Stayed out all late and, like, maybe didn't even sleep or whatever. And then came, I want to say, for Sunday's round. And Joel was, like, throwing up before they teed off and fired a 62.
I remember that on Twitter.
Back and won a whole bunch of money or points or whatever they needed to help themselves get a card for the next year.
Just needs to be hung over all the time, yeah, I guess.
I mean, have yourself a night, Joel.
No doubt.
I think he has plenty of practice, you know, playing hungover.
Yeah, I bet he does.
A little injured, if you wanted to call it that. And he's pretty good at it.
Yep.
Yeah. Full Swing was awesome. I hope they do another season of that.
I heard they were. Don't quote me on that, but I think they are.
Yeah, surely they got to get Max.
I think I seen something on, like Homa is on the next one or something.
I think I heard somewhere, too, that they did not pay those guys.
Really?
Yeah, like the guys they just kind of signed up to do it to help promote the PGA Tour, promote golf in general.
Yeah.
But that I think I heard that they didn't even get paid for that, so, which is kind of interesting. I thought they would have made a bunch of money.
Yeah, you would have assumed.
I might be wrong there. Of course, I'm just going off what I hear on scrolling through social media or whatever. Yeah. So, all right. So, of all the guys that went to Live, who was the one that you're most disappointed about?
I always like DJ.
DJ?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be hard to not say that, too. He's so good. Yeah. And, like, too much ability to not be out there trying to be number one in the world. But he's done that before, and I guess he made a business decision.
Yeah.
You know, I think if Bryson wouldn't have been so weird, like, he'd be one that I wish would still be out there with his length. But also, something about his personality makes me feel like he's better suited for Liv.
Yeah. I don't think that many people probably miss Bryson.
Yeah.
You know? It's like you said, just kind of with his attitude and everything. But, you know, one thing about him, too, when he was on the PGA and he was going, you know, bombing drives and everything, I mean, he brought in a lot more people following him and the PGA Tour and everything. So. Yeah,
and kind of a whole different thought about the game, like how to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was cool he did that. I mean, now you see all kinds of people trying to get as much distance as they possibly can. And so that was cool that he did that.
Yeah.
But, all right, another thing that happened just a couple weeks ago is Tiger came back and played the golf tournament.
Yep.
Played Riviera. And he still looks like a kind of like a broken old man, but he can still hit a golf ball, too.
Yeah, he can still hit golf shots. Yeah. One thing with me with Tiger, and I'm a Tiger fan. He's the best to ever play. But one thing with me is if he's you know, if he's not really in the mix, he's like 10 shots back on Sunday. I don't need to see every one of his shots. You know, I get that he's playing. He only plays so many tournaments a year, but, you know, like at Augusta, you know.
Yeah.
And they'll do it again this year. And then you go on PGA app, and all it is Tiger does this, Tiger does that. And I'm like, yeah, but he's like 10 shots off the lead. I get he's the GOAT. But
we just got to accept that because he is the GOAT. And there's a real possibility that every time we see him play, it could be the last.
Yeah.
And
absolutely agree.
And he, you know, he just went and had himself a career that when he plays, that's it's going to happen. There's.
Well, I seen something, and it was like between 99 and 2000, he would have a better career than like Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth.
17 wins and 4 majors in those 2 years.
I mean, there was obviously a whole pile of guys like studs. Yeah, but, you know.
Yeah. I mean,
and them two guys are some of the best two on the PGA.
Right.
And you're like, yeah, Tiger did what they've done in their career in 2 years.
In two years. Yeah, that's another thing. Like, it happened so long ago that it's hard to remember. But for us that do remember what Tiger did, it was so unbelievable. That he made me such a fan back in the 99, 2000, you know, even what 90, 96, 97 when he first started and he won the Masters and then went out and won the U.S. Open by a whole bunch. Like, what he did, I can sit here today and he could be 55 and only be able to hit it 260 and I'm still going to want to watch every single one of his golf shots.
Yeah, and I get that. I get it. But, yeah, and that's my only thing with Tiger is it almost makes me – it kind of pisses me off a little bit. I'm like, I get it, but, you know, then again.
Yeah.
But they're also doing it so they can make their money. So people are kind of mm-hmm. looking at and seeing. Yeah, what it Tiger's still brings. I mean, he
still is
it.
Still is the needle. I do know that if John Rahm and Scottie Scheffler and Rory and Max Homa and or JT and Spieth, if they're in the mix up there, I better see every single one of their golf shots too.
Yeah.
You know, that's.
I did think it was cool that the week before they were talking to some of the guys live in their presser, and they said, "Hey, Tiger just, you know, said he's playing next week."
Oh yeah,
Jason Day and all them guys.
They were just cheering for the first time. Yeah, yeah.
And they all thought it was great, you know. Which, like I said, I'm not dogging him or nothing, but yeah, he is great. I wish he could play more. The thing with him is that he doesn't play enough tournaments, obviously, because his body won't let him. But and so he's just not as sharp, you know. His short game's just not quite as sharp. His, you know, what, you know what I mean?
Definitely a short game isn't as sharp. And it is because he doesn't get the tournament reps.
Yeah.
But I know he's all about that. He made his career out of, like, learning how to peak, to be at his best for certain times or, you know, events or whatever. And you know he still is doing that. Like, that's still his goal when he wakes up every day is to get to peak. And you know it's for the second week in April.
Yeah.
You know, I would almost guess that he probably feels like the U.S. Open's probably a little too much for him. It's such a grind to try to win the U.S. Open.
Yeah.
And also, like, the British Open, he probably feels like he can, but he needs good weather.
Yeah.
He needs it to be, like, a less of a grind. But I guarantee you, the Masters and wherever the PGA Championship is held, he probably thinks he can win that golf tournament.
And obviously, you know, Augusta, he for sure can. Yes. Not that I'm saying he can't win anywhere else, but, you know, his resume at Augusta is,
Yeah. Did you see this deal that he gave JT the tampon?
Yeah.
And that was a big deal or whatever. But I never heard anybody doing that.
Then he has to apologize the next day. We are so soft as a freaking. I mean, it's the way the world is. Everybody's just soft.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he tried to hide it too, but there's so many cameras around that.
Yeah. And the thing is that camera caught it perfect. I mean, you read it.
Yeah.
I mean, it couldn't have got it any better. But yeah. No, I thought it was funny. I thought it was awesome. I was mad that he apologized for it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's whatever. It's between him and JT, I don't. Yeah, I guess I'm not a female either, so I can't say a whole lot, but yeah, I didn't. I thought it was unnecessary to have to apologize for it, but
whatever.
Yeah.
It is what it is,
you know. All right, so golf season's coming up. What, you know, your game ready to go?
No, I'm so terrible. I have played, but I just have no feel around the greens. But it's, you know, March, end of February, March. So it is what it is. Greens, you know, obviously haven't been mowed. They're bumpy, so you can't really make a four-footer out there right now. If you make anything past that, it just kind of bounces its way in.
Right. Yeah, you always just hit it hard at the hole and hopefully it goes in.
You've been hitting the simulator up?
Yeah, I've swung about once a week. I've been getting in there and swinging, and things are feeling pretty good. All this new equipment came out or whatever, so I want, you know, that part of me just wants to test it all.
Yeah.
It's good, and I haven't. I did test the new Wilson driver, and it's legit.
Really?
Legit. Like, the most surprising club I've hit in the last
decade. You don't hear a lot about Wilson.
No, that was the thing. You know, over at R&R, they talked me into it, and it had a Ventus Blue 6X shaft, and I was like, well, I got to try it because it has a shaft in it, and I hit it. I've watched Hunter hit it, and, I mean, he hit it better than I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, dude, you could put that in the bag right now, and it might be a slight upgrade, but he hits everything good, though.
Yeah.
And, it's a great club. I bet they sell a bunch of them.
Really?
It's a slightly lower price point than, you know, like new Ping, new TaylorMade or whatever, and it definitely performs just as well as they do.
Yeah, dude, it's going to be another 2 years, and drivers are going to be $1,000.
I don't want that.
I think that's what's... I mean, we're well on our way.
Why? I mean, what? How did we go from just a few years ago, we were $400. Brand new drivers, $400. Like, and how all of a sudden, like, did we just forget about $500 and $600 drivers, and now we're at like seven?
Yeah.
$630 for the new. I mean, what? Are you kidding me? Yeah, so it's you're going to need to know somebody to be able to afford a driver.
Yeah, you got to get your in.
I don't know. Maybe I should get into equipment sales. That's crazy. I guess golf must be growing if they're able to start
to do that. I mean, charging. People are paying it.
Yeah, they are. And, I mean, I've tested a lot of the equipment as it comes out. It's not that much better than what was already there. I mean, guys on tour are still playing the G400 driver from Pink.
Yeah.
And they've came out with three drivers since.
I'm going, is the 430 really that much better than the 425?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm not sure the 425 was any better than the 400.
Yeah.
You know?
I've got both of them.
Yeah. And
I hit the 425 because I paid $700 for it.
Yeah.
You know? So I have to hit it, right?
Right. Yeah. My nephew's still hitting the 400, and every time I see him pull it out, I'm like, man, why did I get rid of that thing?
My favorite driver I had, this is going back a little ways, was the TaylorMade M2 with the black and white head.
Mm-hmm.
God, it looks so good. I love that driver. But I would love to buy one of them now. Actually, I think, is it Tiger or Rory that has that in a 3-wood in their bag? I seen 2 weeks ago. But, yeah, one of them still has it, which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, I would imagine a lot of those guys probably are in situations where they really don't want to change, but the manufacturer talks them into it. Yeah, but I don't know. I did hit the new Ping iron, the I-230.
Like them?
Yeah, it's a great iron. I play the I-210, and it's sitting there. I was over at R&R hitting on their little simulator there and just getting amazing numbers with it. And I had my clubs in the truck. I finally just stopped. I was like, I got to go get my club just to see what's going on. Make sure I'm not just like swinging good here today or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And my club did the exact same thing as that one. So,
oh, really?
Yeah. So,
yeah, I don't need to buy it. I don't need to spend this $2,000.
Yeah, I was like, they're pretty much the same. They just look a little different. So, but I don't know. It's always fun trying new clubs. And when you find one that you really like, no matter whether it's putter, wedges, irons, you know, driver even, when you find it and you're actually out there looking for it, it can improve your game a lot when you actually find the one.
Yeah, there ain't no doubt.
Yeah.
Well, what else been going on? Anything?
No, it's just, you know, just waiting on golf season to get here. It's hard going all winter. Luckily, I have three kids that keep me so busy that it just goes really fast. You know, like there's these group of guys from here that just went down to Florida to play. Like, I'm so jealous.
I texted Josh Potterfield earlier because last people we had on was him and Pawpaw.
Yep.
And they were telling us about their teams and all this. And you and I said that we thought Shane's team would beat Troy Schnelton's team.
Right.
Which we had to because they were here. They were our guests.
They were our guests, right?
But anyway, Josh told me that them two teams tied when they were in Florida. So them two teams tied, and three guys on that trip. If you just see the list of guys, I think you can know the three. I'm not going to say names, but three of them guys missed their flight home, and they're still down there.
No,
and I would assume they're having a ball.
Missed it on purpose.
I think they missed it on purpose.
Well, you know.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm not going to say names, but I think if you all look at the two teams there of who was playing, and you can see the three that didn't come home.
Another couple of days in Florida probably isn't a bad idea.
No.
And if you can make it work, you know, make it work. Yeah. That's good. I need my kids to get just a little bit older so I can figure out how to make a Florida trip work every year.
Yep.
Yeah. Golf season's almost here. Just looking forward to it. It'll be the fish fry before we know it.
Yeah.
And then things really start happening. And
like we said, it's almost March, and April is the old one, man, so it's coming up here.
Yeah.
And then we'll be, podcasts will really get good.
That's right. Kind of get some days that are a little longer. And also, you won't have to go to work at 4 a.m. every day.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
It makes life a little bit easier.
Yeah. 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 No, it'll be, I'm excited for this year, man.
All right.
I'm excited just to play.
Me too. All right. Well, let's wrap things up.
Yep.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and hopefully you're looking forward to us bringing you a bunch of these, because that's our plan.
Yep. Thanks, boys.